let the fire fall. Whew. But are you ready for the fire? We call out for God. We cry out for God. But do you want what God has for you? Or do you want what you want for you? The revival fire. God comes on the scene as a consuming fire. Everything with God is associated, is affiliated with fire. You cannot separate fire and God. God's holy fire. Lord God, we come this morning. Father, have your way. God, let your fire fall. Cleanse us. Wash us. Restore us. Get us right, Lord God. We submit to you. We humble ourselves before you. Do whatever you need to do. Remove me out of the way. I am nothing but a mere man. I am just a vessel that you have chosen to speak through. May you be seen and not me. May you be heard and not me, Father. Touch the hearts of your people this morning. Touch the hearts of those, Lord God, on the internet that are looking and listening to the video, Lord God, that your fire will come forth through the computer, Lord God. Touch our hearts, Lord God. Revival fire, Lord God, let it consume us. Do whatever you need to do today, Lord God. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just won't come out of this stuff here. You know, when God comes on the scene, though, we say a lot of scriptures. We preachers and we quote a lot of stuff. And we who've been walking this walk for a minute or two, we can say a lot of stuff. But do we mean what we say? We can look good, we can sound good, but it's the goodness of the Lord in the midst of our hearts. Hallelujah. This is a totally different sermon. It's not on fire. It's not on the topic of fire, but I'm believing that the fire of God would be there. Hallelujah. What I want to do first is, before I get ahead of myself, I want to hand out, bless him, let's hand out to couples first, families, then if we have anything remaining, give it individually. When we see God burns us up, but he also has to cool us down. Grab hold to that. He doesn't want to destroy us. Because if we were to experience all his Shekinah glory, we could not handle it. And he has to put some water. He slowly but surely brings us to that place, though, where we can handle it. I believe now many of you have heard the term Shekinah glory, at least from me. Shekinah glory, Shekinah basically is the divine manifestation of the presence of God. And glory is His splendor and all of His magnificence. His Shekinah glory. Do we want His glory, His presence? More of Him, less of us. It's not about a show, people. It's not about show. It's not about trying to make you feel good. Too many of us go to church and we want to be tickled in our flesh. We want somebody to get us stirred up. No, let God stir you up. Amen. Church is not a show. Because you can go home and you watch TV and you watch shows. I come because I want to be in the presence of the Lord thy God. And I want Him to change me day by day. I want His fire to consume me. As we seem to cannot get away from the fire and the water of God. As much as I'm trying, we cannot seem to get away from the fire in the purification of the water of God. So my title is, let's go wading, let's go swimming, rise up, and what?
Hallelujah.
Some of us have been saved for a long time, but you're still anorexic spiritually. You're going by the motions. There's no power in you because you do not submit to the glory of God. My wife and I, we were talking a couple of nights ago, and I don't know how this came up. We were talking about David. And I was in the bathroom doing something. And so I just began to pose questions to her about why did God, and this isn't even the message, why did God say that David was a man after His own heart? I pondered that for a long time. Look at all what David do. See, we think it's all about us trying to be holy.
Go ahead, man.
Don't get me, I'm telling you, I see this religious spirit. Believe me, it ain't just... It's also in here too. We are not exempt from the word of God.
Amen.
God is talking to all of us. Because you can't try to be good. You can't try to be righteous. You can't try to be holy. But that religious spirit. That's right. It stinks in the very nostrils of God. It stinks in His nostrils. That stinking religious spirit. That self-righteous spirit. I believe I have a sense of humor, but I'm telling you, when it comes to God, I don't play. I don't play because God don't play. God says, baby, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. You better fear me because I can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. You keep playing with God all you want. We were talking about David and I said, honey, why? did God say that this is a man after my own heart? Look at all that he did. All the wickedness that he did. See, we got to understand, it's not about your self-righteousness. And we all got to deal with that. Oh, God used me today. Look, I'm a righteous man, a woman of God. No. God uses us in spite of our shortcomings, inconsistencies, lack of prayer, lack of reading the word of God. If God could speak through Balaam's donkey. But don't get too high on the horse, thinking that we are all that in a bag of chips. Outside of God, we are nothing but dirt. The church in America needs to get it right. I call it spiritual Hollywood. We want to be entertained, and we want the finest musicians, and we want the finest singers, and I want to be made comfortable, and all this stuff. I want that pastor that is charismatic. But you don't understand. You want the anointing. Amen. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Many in America, the preachers, they're obtaining wisdom and knowledge without the power of God. A form of godliness denying the power thereof. Gnostics. Continuously receiving knowledge. Don't get me wrong. I believe in knowledge. I believe in schooling. But if your heart ain't right, buddy, you better let it go. Because everything that God gives you, he wants you to give it away. Obtaining knowledge. But there is no transformation. There is no anointing. There is no fire. There is no power of God in the house. We had a good service today. What did the pastor preach about? I don't know. But he hooped and hollered and we had a good time. Then you live like the devil the rest of the week. Not sure why God has me saying this morning. I don't mean to scream, but I can't help it. We say a lot of things. We are sometimes become some of the most religious folk, and we wonder why the world are not changing. They want to see the real Christian. They're looking for the light of the world. We are to be that light. Amen. We're wondering why nobody want to hear from us. We think coming to church, I'm good. Not at all. Not at all. We think we're doing God a favor. I came to church today, so I'm all right. Devil comes to church, too. All right, let's get to the scripture. Let's go wading swimming. Rise up and walk. Why do I say that? Because there's many Christians that have never risen up and walked. They're spiritually paralyzed. They're spiritually paralyzed. 1 John 5, 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue, Beth Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that they may have had. Now, when we read the scripture, we must pray for the mind of God, that God will give us understanding and interpretation of the word. It is not just a story. It is true.
Amen.
It is true. The impotent man answered him. No, let me go back. Where did I leave off? Okay. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a lot, almost 40 years. Similar to the woman who had the issue of blood. When she said, the translation of the King James, when she touched the hem of his garment, in the Hebrew, it says she touched his zitzit because he was wearing a prayer shawl. Understand that Jesus was a Jew. We forget that. You cannot accept Judaism and Christianity, because Jesus said, I didn't come, what? He didn't come to abolish, he came to bring a fulfillment. So we as Christians are engrafted with the Jews. We are the adopted children of God. So we can't think we all that in a bag of chips. So always remember the tassels on the prayer shawl, the zitzit. That's what the woman touched. And power went out from the Lord. Who touched me? Verse 5 again. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed?
Right.
Are you tired of this?
Hey.
Are you tired of just going through the motions? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another one steps in front of me and goes in the water. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Too many of us have been crawling as Christians. Let me tell you something. Don't matter how long you've been in church. Because God says that there are those that are saved, there are those that ain't. And he is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. So don't think because you're in a church. I remember when my wife and I were in Louisa, and I was asked to preach at this particular church. They were having revival. We don't even understand. I don't even want to get on that, because man cannot cause revival. But anyhow, we went, and some of you have heard this before, but I remember God had me to tear up my message once again. I can't stand when that happens. I just preached fire and brimstone. I just preached salvation. At the end, the fire of God fell. This is why we must put on the whole armor of God and ask God, God, let me see through your eyes. Let me hear through your ears. Give me discernment. And I remember praying for the glory of God. And I had them, I said, you may have been in church all your little life. You may be important in this church. I'll never forget that. Make a long story short, guess who raised their hands to get saved? The head deacon. And his wife. Because we're looking through fleshly eyes of the good things that that person is doing. I didn't care. Because I had no, I was concerned about the souls. Let me tell you something. That head deacon and his wife, all they could do was run down the aisle. But guess what? The pastor was so mad. I said, my God, brother, don't you care for their souls? Woo. Don't think that because people are walking around you, we must be concerned for their soul. Hell is no joke, people.
Hallelujah.
Hell is no joke. People are dying, church folk, and busting it wide open. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked on the same day. It was the Sabbath. I'm going to share this little story. It says, one night a drunken sat at a table at a bar drinking with his companions. Soon his wife came in and set a covered dish before him saying, Jack, you seem too busy to come home for supper, so I brought your supper to you. As she left the bar, the man's companions roared with laughter. Jack then invited them to have supper with him. He removed the cover and found the dish was completely empty. But there was a note that read, Jack, I hope you enjoy your supper. This is just what the children and I have at home. We must understand that Satan dishes that he gives us is always empty. It may look good, but it's empty. But Christ fills the dishes with the best things for time and eternity. This is why Jesus is the potter and we are the clay. We say, mold me, shape me. But do we really want that? How many times God is trying to shape us and we're resisting God? We're fighting. That's not what I want, God. But will you submit and let God mold you and shape you? It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult when God is molding us and shaping us. Well, in this story, the pool of Bethsaida, we learn how Jesus blessed a man who had been sick and needy almost 40 years. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Of course, he replied, and he didn't even have to get in the water, because Jesus is the living water. Well, in this story, we find three meaningful facts. The first one is the condition of the man, or we could say the condition of man, the coming of the Savior, of the coming of Christ. And we do this a lot. We say, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to reverse it. Because you can't make him Lord if you haven't made him Christ. You can't make him Lord if you haven't made him Savior. That's the difference. It's a difference that he's my Savior. See, we say things and we don't understand what we are hearing and saying. Seriously, when a person is saved and you're leading them, they must accept him as their Savior first. Many of us who've been walking a minute or two still haven't received and accepted him as our Lord. Lord means you have complete authority and supreme power in my life. Get the rascal saved first before you put too much on him. Get him saved first. Let me back it up. You can't get him saved.
Amen.
But give him the free gift.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Baby steps. As he's saved, as she is saved, as they grow, they will come into submitting to the Lord, to Jesus Christ as their Lord. It's a difference, people. Savior and Lord is two separate things. We got to break the word of God down. The condition of the man. The first condition of the man was he was helpless. Probably someone brought him to the pool every morning and came after him every night. But all day long he lay there in a helpless condition. Isn't that a picture of a lost sinner? Yeah. Helpless. He was helpless. He couldn't do anything to save himself. And we who are saved, isn't that where we were? There are many religious folk. I won't say Christians. They believe that they can, by good works you can make it into heaven. Mm-mm. Good people go to hell all day long without Jesus Christ. Now, when we get become a Christian, we should do good things. But the good things you do does not open the doors of heaven so that you can come in. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Without Christ, you and I can do nothing. Yet Paul said in Philippians 4:13, all of our talent, all of your wisdom, all of your knowledge, all of your personality is nothing unless Christ is in it. Everything you do, make sure Jesus Christ is in it. Imagine what we could do if you and I fully surrender to Jesus Christ. Think about that. Jesus said, "The works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." I'm sitting on the right hand of my Father, interceding on your behalf. That's what the Word says. So imagine if we submit. I'm going somewhere. Make him Lord, what we can do. When you make him Lord, he is the driver. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The glory of God on your life. Paul said, "Follow me as I." The second condition of the man was that he was hopeless. I'm quite sure when he first came to the pool, he must have had great hopes of getting well. I remember, and I've said this before, some of you heard it, most of you. I remember when God was drawing me to him. And I remember my wife and I went to various churches. This was 30-something years ago. And I remember setting up in these churches and the pastor giving the invitation, and I'm repeating after him, just saying words, don't know no better. And I leave, and I'm like, ain't nothing happened here. My thoughts still the same. I'm still acting up. I'm still trifling. I still want to run the streets. I said, I'm serious. I've never shared it with my wife, but I would say, I'm destined to go to hell. I said, how do you get saved? I remember saying these things to myself. I'm like, God, I don't understand this salvation. How do you get saved? I'm doing everything the pastor's telling me to do. I'm giving lip service. I was hopeless. At the end of the first year, he may have said, surely I'll be all right by this time next year. But the years came and gone. I'm quite sure he gave up. Obviously he did. No life is so bleak as one which has no hope. I actually had no hope. I literally had no hope. Because I knew the Spirit of God wasn't in me. I still wanted to do those things. I felt hopeless. The man without Christ has no hope. There is no future for him or her. But thank God the Christian does have hope. He has hope that God will take care of him and his loved ones. The third condition of this man was that he was friendless. A friend is one who knows all about you and still loves you. Amen. Who knows your ins and outs, who knows your shortcomings, but they still love you. Oh, how many of us, we in our self-righteous selves, oh, if we could be in other people's houses, how we would act and respond to those people. Jesus said, let he who is without sin, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible is true. Yes, y'all better stop throwing stones at folk. Come on now. Lest you get exposed. Because ain't now one of us in here have we arrived yet. So stop looking religious. Except me. Right, honey? I had to put something in there. Because I'm burning up here. Friendless. A friend is one who comes when all the world turns away from you. And you go, and you don't go with judgment. You go with love. I've said this before. In my sermons, I always want to include love. Love covers all that stuff is. I know that's not a word, but it sounds good to me. All your stuff is. Owe no man anything. It's all about love, people. It's all about love. But the best friend is Jesus Christ. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is a friend that will never leave us nor forsake us. So here is this man. He's hopeless, he's helpless, he's friendless, but Jesus is the only one who can help him. As I myself, I felt hopeless. I had just made a decision, I'm going to hell. I marvel at people. I always say, if you know you're going to go to hell, don't go to hell trying to be good. That's just what my brain thinks like this. I'm like, if that's where you want to go, then go with flying colors. But I had given up. I literally had given up. And never told my wife that. Still would go to churches, run out, come back home, do my stuff. And I said, this stuff just don't work for me. Just don't work. So let's go. The coming of the Savior. We read that Jesus saw him and knew he had been there for a long time. How many times, how long have you been where you are? We must remember that he... This is for all of us people. We must remember that he sees and knows all about each of us.
Yes, he does.
Even the things you don't want to expose to nobody. Did you know that God sees it. You might think you're getting away with it. There will come a day of reckoning for each of us. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. I'm not here to try to make you feel good. That's just not why I'm up here. Too many preachers, pastors want to make you feel good. No. I want you to come into all the saving grace of the Lord. I'd rather make you mad and you come to walk with God than to make you feel good and you bust hell wide open. None of us are exempt, not even myself.
Hallelujah.
My wife is, but none, nobody else. Y'all believe that? Let me tell you what happened yesterday. No. All right. We must remember that the Lord sees and knows all. But here is a comforting thought, though. When we are troubled and when we are going through sorrow, he also sees that.
Amen.
That's why we say his mercy endureth forever. How loving our God is in spite of the stuff that we deal with and go through. How he just loves us. He cherishes us. Let's think about this. Think about this. I know my stuff that I have to deal with. And I repent and I pray and I seek God. And how he just loves us. He adores each and every one of us. He cherishes us. He cares for us. He loves each and every one of us exactly where we are. He loves you where you 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 are. He loves you exactly where you are. He loves you where you are. But he loves you so much, he refused to leave you where you are.
Amen. 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 Come on.
He says, I chastise those that I love.
Thank you, Jesus.
We may think at times that we don't count with God. We are simply one small little person among millions on this planet. But each of us are individuals in his sight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let me tell you, it's good to think humbly of yourself. It's not a bad thing to say, God, I'm not worthy. The problem is when we begin to say, I'm worthy. Look at me. Look at what I have obtained. Look at what I did. Well, the scripture says in the last days, men are going to cry out. Didn't I lay hands upon the sick? Didn't I prophesy in their name? Oh, yeah, buddy, you did. Oh, but depart from me. You worker of iniquity. This is why I say many church folk don't understand the difference between charisma and the anointing. Don't be fooled by charismatic individuals. You want the anointing, the power, the Shekinah glory to fall upon the vessel. Because we all are vessels that God uses. Now Jesus proceeds to heal the man. The man has been looking at the pool for his healing and had been bitterly disappointed. But here is the great physician. Jesus Christ. ready to do all for him that he needs. Same in our lives. Now, here is where the religious world divides today. Some people look at their own works for salvation. Look at what I did. How many of you have done something good? Then that spirit of pride has got in you. Oh. Let me tell you something. When you do something good for somebody, don't tell nobody what you've done. If you give somebody $200, it's between that person and you and God. When you start talking about what you did it with the wrong heart. When you bless people, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Scripture says, what you do in private, why do you got to tell folk what you done? Why? Ask yourself, why do you have to tell somebody that you did something good? Maybe you have a character flaw. This is for all of us. I tell my wife, if she done bless somebody, don't tell me. Because I want her to be blessed by God. This is the word of God, folk. Now, if you don't like it, take it up with God. But he never asked my opinion on the word of God. He just said, don't add anything to it. Don't take away from it. Some people look to their own works for salvation. Or look at the good in which I did. Just bless people. And don't boast about what the good you do. Amen. Nothing worse than a boasting Christian. Jesus. Boasting Christian about, I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Because I hear right then, the heart is not right. Some look at Christ and him alone for salvation. Some say he has done it all. Others say, I must do something. Look at me. Some say Jesus paid it all. Others say, I must pay my way to heaven by the good stuff I did. Pastor, let me tell you what I did good yesterday. Come on. That is so fleshly. That is so away from the Spirit of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? That stinking pride in the ministry. I see it everywhere. Others say I must pay my way to heaven, but Jesus looked at this man, listen to this, loved him and had compassion on him. He healed him at the twinkling of an eye. the command of Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, "Rise! Take up thy bed and walk." That's authority. It don't say that he was spitting, screaming, yelling. Well, he was the Word of God. I've seen preachers grab the Bible and hit folk. Am I right, honey? I said, no, you hit me with that Bible. It's going to be might be the last Bible you hit somebody with. We think God need our help. Folk in the prayer line trying to push you down. What does it mean if I fall? Does that mean what? Believe it or not, I have never fainted in the spirit. So what does it mean? I've seen preachers do some ridiculous things. And it shows me you're not relying upon God. You're not fully relying upon God. If God want to slay you in the spirit, so be it. But if you don't, so be it. I just want God. Amen. I know he's not going to hit me upside the head with his Bible, though. That's man. Rise up and walk. He says the same thing to each of us, people. Come out of your religious stupor. Some of you are going to die in that religious state. Don't mean you're not saved. But you're so stuck in that religious. Religion is no good. It's a relationship. People, I tell folk in a heartbeat, I am not religious. Because religion can send you to hell. After we have been saved, we are not to remain seated. We are to rise up and walk for the Lord.
Amen.
We are to rise up and walk for the Lord. Suppose, listen to this. Suppose you were in a burning building and a fireman rushed in and saved your life. But suppose in the midst of him saving your life, he lost his life. Huh. Would you go to the funeral? Would you send flowers? Would you show appreciation in some form or fashion? I believe probably everyone that's listening, and we who are here will probably say we would do something like that. Well, Jesus has saved you and I from the burning pits of hell.
Amen.
Like a fireman. And he gave his life for you and I so that we would not have to go through the burning fire. So shouldn't we acknowledge him in all our ways?
Amen.
In all of our ways. In closing, what does the Lord call upon each of us to do? Think about it. We all have different purposes. I'm speaking spiritually. I'm going to pose a question to each of us. What is your spiritual purpose? What is your spiritual purpose? It's more than just being saved. What is your spiritual purpose? Some of you have never had this posed to you. It is more than just being saved, coming to church, and feeling good about yourself. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad those that are listening are in a church. What is your spiritual purpose? I know what my spiritual purpose is. There, you have a spiritual purpose. What is it? What is it? Do you know? Is it you just saved and you go to work and you come home and you try to act like you saved at work? No, that's not just, that's what we do. As a Christian, we are to walk as children of God. That's not your spiritual purpose. What is your spiritual purpose? To make an impact for God. God didn't just save you, just to save you. We watched a movie the other night. I just didn't want to watch it. And I'll come clean. I'm a Western guy. And I'm a sci-fi guy. I watch some Star Trek now. Who said that? Okay. So anyhow, my wife said, well, let's watch a movie. I'm like, oh, Lord, don't feel like watching no romance right now. Well, anyhow, came upstairs and had to get a new TV for upstairs. Let me tell you something. For a long time, my wife wouldn't allow me to have a TV in the bedroom. What are you talking about? I don't want to know who said that. Okay, but good for you. I pray for you, son. Because you can watch Christian shows up there. Holy Ghost can be up there. Because I know it ain't happening up there all the time. Y'all know I'm coming. All right, let me keep it clean. Oh, you had anointed, huh? Okay. All right. So anyhow, I said, all right. I didn't say it like that, but I thought it like that. So she said, well, so you cut the TV on and what's the Pureflix. So anyhow, we watched it. That, if you don't know, that's a Christian station. Lots of good Christian stations. But sometimes I want to watch Star Trek. I'm human like everybody else. People think because we're pastors. No, I like to have fun too. So, but you can have fun without sinning. So anyhow, we watched this particular movie, which was really good after I got my spirit right. And I really wanted to look at some Clint Eastwood. My boy there, but anyhow. Huh? Yeah, to him too. Him too. So as we were watching the movie, it was such a really good movie. It was about this individual who had transporting these, I guess, two Hispanic women, basically sex trade. But at the end, it was such, because I didn't want anything heavy before I'm going to sleep, you know. And but at the end, it was such an awesome movie how he was able to, he gave the girls to the individuals that had paid for him to bring them. But he had a change of heart. And then he sought to free them from that. And make a long story short, he was able to free them. And he ended up falling in love with the oldest sister. But after that, he felt his ministry was to help other young girls who were walking the street of prostitution. And it was just a really touching story. And I'm saying that because he found out what his purpose was outside of salvation. He found out what his purpose was. Now find out what your purpose is. But I want to caution you, don't walk in a purpose that somebody else has told you this is your purpose. Because that is messed up right there too. You seek the Lord for you. And say, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you have for me in this season in my walk? Because it will change as we walk with God. He calls us to rise up and to walk in an open confession to him. If we have been truly saved, you and I will do it. If we have had the tremendous experience of sins forgiven, we will be glad to confess it to the Lord and to the world. To whom much is given, much is required. And some of you don't know this, but I haven't done it in a while. I'm a chaplain, a certified chaplain. And I have a license to go into the state prisons. Okay? Now, I'm going to share this with you. I've gone to those prisons, and I've had men, what I call jailhouse confession, where they confess the Lord because of the situation that they're in. If you want to see how blessed you are, I challenge you to go to some of the prisons. Go to some of the female prisons, ladies, men, go to the male prisons. Oh, you're going to see something. See, you know, we walk this squeaky clean thing. Behind those doors, it ain't squeaky clean. You won't be there. I've had men to confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. They get out. They're doing the same thing. They're doing the exact same thing. They never came out on the Lord's side. It was what I did, a mouth confession. It wasn't a heart thing. Amen. They went on living the same old way. How many of us have been in church? And we think that because we were raised in the church, that we're saved. If you cannot remember the day, the time, or that time that you gave your life to the Lord, you may not know the day or the hour or the month, year. But if you cannot remember when the Holy Spirit came into your life, I won't tell you, you ain't saved. I'd rather be wrong and you come to the Lord than to be right in the opposite. There has to be a day. You will know the day that the Spirit of God, the Holy God, comes to dwell within your heart. Mama can't get me into heaven. God's Miracle Church can't get me into heaven. I can't get you into heaven. No church can get you into heaven. Your good works that you do cannot get you into heaven. Serving on the deacon board can't get you into heaven. Don't get me wrong, you do good things. I'm not just talking here, I'm talking church generally. But those good things does not guarantee that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord calls us to rise up and walk into the baptismal waters. Remember I said fire and water with God? When a person has been fully saved, or really saved, his first impulse and desire is to follow Christ into baptism. This is not something that brings salvation, as Pastor has said before. This is a matter of obedience which follows salvation. There are many that preach that you cannot get to heaven without being baptized. But what about the man on the cross? As Pastor Eric said, it is just is showing that you have been buried as Jesus was buried, and now you are being resurrected. That's all. Symbolism. He calls us to rise up and to walk to a faithful church membership. Nothing in the world can benefit a Christian as much as a faithful relationship to a Bible-teaching, God-fearing church. Not people-fearing church. It's a difference. God-fearing. I don't fear people. I fear God. And how wonderful it will be if all church members were faithful. Think of the added spiritual power our churches would have. He calls us to rise up and walk as consecrated Christians. He calls us to rise up and to walk as faithful stewards. Amen. He calls us to rise up and to walk a life of service to him. Yes. Now, I want you to hold on to the flyer that I gave you. Read that. That's going to bring it home about the man that Jesus asked, do you want to be made whole? And to rise up and to walk. Amen. I want all eyes closed, all heads bowed.
Thank you, Jesus.
All eyes closed. All heads bowed. I know I said a lot today, but I want you saved, sanctified, and set apart for God. Even you who are listening through and by YouTube. You may have been in church all your life. You even may be in what we call a home church, or that you say a home church. But you never accepted the Lord Jesus. Or you can't remember. You may have given lip service as I did. If there's 3% chance that you feel that you might not go to heaven, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. You may have been in church all your life, raised in it, walked in it. But I'm going to say it again. If you feel that there's just something there that may keep you out, that it might even be 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, raise your hand so that I can pray, so that you can be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay. You may lower your hand. Now, if you feel that you have been sort of something that's held you back from being the woman or the man of God that God has called you for, or you feel that there's a slight paralysis in your spiritual walk, and you want to rise up and walk, be that strong woman or man of God that he has called you to be, raise your hand so that I may pray for you. Don't let it be any shame in your game. None of us are perfect here. This is a spiritual hospital. I'm going to say it again. If you want to rise up and to walk in the power and the Shekinah glory of the Heavenly Father, raise your hand so that I may pray. I love it. You may lower your hands. Hallelujah. Just let His Spirit just fall upon you and rest. Lord God, we come and we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your mercy, for your mercy endureth forever. We thank you, Father God, for all that you want for us, Lord God, and we want for you, Father. May we continue to yearn and hunger after you. May we continue to hunger after your righteousness and after your holiness, Lord God. We submit and we surrender to you, Father. We know that you are our Savior, but Father God, we want you to be in the driver's seat. We want you to be Lord over our lives 100%, Lord, so that you can receive and get the glory out of our lives, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the people. Thank you, Father God, that we have an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord. We glorify your name, and we magnify. Now, all eyes closed. If there is something, you've been seeking God because you need a healing. You need His healing, not man's healing. But you've been crying out for God. And you want Him to heal you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That you don't want this thing anymore. That you don't want to carry it anymore. Raise your hand so that I may pray for you. Okay. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do, this is just roll with it. This is something that Lord put on my heart. And what am I?